we have Ken, and then Steve Fire, and then John is me.
And John Wayne.
No, those are the next three. Oh. And then I'll continue.
I have two questions. One, how much is this new Edit 3 going to cost? And number two, on your report, you say much of the purchase price of the second transmitter has been raised outside of KPFK's operational budget. What does that mean? It's in the budget. There's a line item for the transmitter. The $15,000 was moved into it, and it's on the budget. So what do you mean it's off budget?
Okay, you asked two questions now. The first of the two questions, the cost of the edit upgrade will be about $4,000. I have been given $2,500 of that by an anonymous benefactor. So it'll cost us about $1,500. I think that's money well spent. The transmitter, you're talking about expenditure. I'm talking
about the first sentence in the second paragraph.
It is the answer.
Much of the purchase price of the second transmitter, roughly $91K, has been raised outside KPFK's operational budget.
Correct. A purchase price is expenditure. That revenue was not reflected in the operational budget.
It is not.
Where in that budget does it say I will procure a $10,000 donation for a transmitter? Where does it say?
When you get the
answer the question, Kim.
Let the chair.
That I will mount a campaign to major donors in terms of targeted letters that will raise us a further $7,000. It's not there. It's not there.
No.
In fact, if you look at the way that budget was constructed, and you go back to the spreadsheet that contribute to it, it's a bloody mess. People have just put numbers in out of nowhere. They don't relate to the other part of that spreadsheet in terms of assumptions. And in fact, the calculations have been changed on some of those spreadsheets. It doesn't make any sense. It's just a bunch of numbers somebody decided to put on a page. But I've got to tell you, in that budget, I don't think you or anyone on the National Finance Committee says we will get a $10,000 donation from a nice man who wanted to have breakfast with Bernard at Norm. But that's what happened.
Bernard,
don't interrupt.
Well, he's not addressing my question.
There is a line item for
revenue.
The $10,000 that was raised as an additional part of income. The check for that, because this gentleman doesn't care about tax deductions, was written to RF Specialty. Why should that appear on that budget?
What?
It was written to RF Specialty, the people who supplied the transmitter. He wrote the check directly to them. I said to him, do you want to give it to us so you can deduct that? Yes, it's deducted for the tax. He said, I don't care about that. And I said, well, let's keep this transparent. You make it straight out to the people supplying. And
okay.
You.
Right.
Thanks, Donna, for the question.
Yes. Okay, the next question
we know.
That's called.
I have three quick things to talk. And thank you for the report. Being new, it's very enlightening to see what's going on behind the scenes. But I'm a little confused because my point of what I've seen, there's a lot of numbers in here about Twitter and how many likes we have on Facebook and how many watches we have going out, but I see nothing in here about how many listeners we have. Can we get Amazon data including this going forward?
Again, I haven't seen, you may have been out of the room, but this body last year. But you may have been out of the room when I referenced to it a few minutes ago. This body last year moved and resolved not to place a great deal of store in Arbitrons because the people who collect Arbitrons have admitted that they have not been able to measure effectively and accurately communities of color. So this board, and I think actually it was a relatively good decision to make, has decided to suspend its usage of Arbitrons. I report them here because from time to time for this body because they're all we've got. But strictly speaking, they probably don't reflect our listenership as well as they could.
The reason I'm bringing it up is because the programmers have been notified that we're being judged on other things, including listenership. So is it relevant to us as well, or no? No, not relevant to us.
Well,
are we judged on our numbers and you are not?
That's a fair question. And in fact, those benchmarks, if you like, were set before that decision was made. So I guess we might have to revisit those. But I know that you are aware that we have made a point of saying to programmers that the amount of money that a program can raise will also be a significant indicator of whether or not the program is too valuable not to be on our airwaves. That's not to say that disenfranchised groups won't be served by programs that don't make a lot of money, but those programs may well be expected to be preempted during fund drives.
Well, we usually, the last 2 years, we've been preempted before fund drive and then go on to do a fund drive, which is very difficult. But I'm not going to go there. The question I have is more about Spanish language day. So we were very excited as a show because we had some Spanish language people who have been trying to get on our show as hosts, and we had proposed doing our show as scheduled on that Monday as a Spanish language show covering immigrant issues for the gay and lesbian community, which is a big deal since our marriages are not recognized because of DOMA and we're deported. And we were told by Alan Minsky that that is not an option, that it's not really a Spanish language day, it's a day for the Spanish language collective to do the programming. But it's not up to him, so I not to stay on the air on a normal slot.
That is so
strange. That's an issue I need to take up with him.
I don't forward you his email. And I emailed him twice because he said he was going to meet with him and try to get permission on Monday. And I've emailed him like 3 times since Monday to see what did they give you permission as sort of director to keep the phone that night. Because obviously we need some running time to get there to translate our newscast.
Okay, we're getting into a really specific area. Okay. I'd like to talk to you about it.
Okay, very good. And the third thing I have is, as the person who ended up being on this board after I ran for election in 2010, I was very surprised. Like, oh, why did I end up running this year? But when you keep saying about it, you think quorum was met. I'm concerned that that is a criteria, because it seems like some people got ballots and some did. So I'd be very concerned about who got ballots and who's not. On my show, with 12 people, I was the only one that got a ballot, but I know people who left my show 3 years ago told me they got a ballot. And no one asked them for the election. Who's booking your show? Which has happened every other election. This year, no one asked.
I have not seen that report from the local election supervisor.
I'm just saying, just giving a quorum is a very low bar.
Oh, yes.
We've got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, we have 2 minutes left, and we have 4 speakers. We have John DeFinio.
Will Tom Hartman be participating in fund drive?
He has offered to. We have yet to ascertain whether or not we will take him up on that offer once we find out what he proposes to do on that. But he has definitely offered to. Yeah, he thinks he's good at it.
I move to extend time so that the other people can ask their questions.
Yeah, I'm done.
10 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm done.
Just to the end of the
I'd like to substitute that motion with just till the end of the stack. So whoever was at the end of the stack, we finish off.
Okay, no objection.
Motion carries. So next is Martin, Michael, and then John Winger.
I'm really glad. You know, one of the things Gord always has talked about is getting younger people involved. And I know from the younger people that hang out at my house, they spend an enormous amount of time doing their past and what have you on Twitter and Facebook. So I'm glad we are encouraging that growth. So I like seeing that in the report.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be important in fund drive if it was possible that when we send out the gift, or how we acknowledge the donation, that we let the personnel do some kind of insert saying, you know, dear new member subscriber, our last elections we did not need quorum to seat new board members. We would appreciate when you get these ballots to listen over carefully and vote on people that you think would represent you. Also, if you care not to vote, if you would just send back the ballot to us, because every ballot counts. I think we have to have one statement. I know some people mentioned that they felt some of the gifts that we gave out went to people who were so driven in one area of either health or spirituality or maybe Spanish language, whatever, but perhaps they didn't feel like they would want to go further when they get the ballot. Somehow we have to find out, you know, or I think that has to be resolved if you would mind maybe putting some kind of insert in. And then in terms of a letter writing campaign, which, you know, I mentioned to you was successful, could you expand the letter to new zip codes? I'd like to see that happen. I mean, the idea when you do a letter campaign like that is that you can't cover your whole area, which I don't think we have the funds to do, that you take, sweep off $1,000 or $2,000 and extend it, and you just keep sweeping. Take 80 or 90% and put it towards your campaign, but then you have to let everybody participate. Thank you.
Michael, then John.
Yes, I wanted to take note because I think my first
Mike.
No, which one? Rick? Yes, it
does. I wanted to take note because I think it was in the original report, but I didn't need to say it, that there was $9,000 donated to the station in, along with the survey.
Yeah,
in the ballot.
Yeah,
I did want to comment, however, that the National Elections Committee over a year ago asked the then executive director to direct the general managers of all five stations to clean up the list of both the listeners and the staff. And so I do want to get some kind of assurances that going forward for the next upcoming election that that's going to be done. Because then it is primarily a management responsibility. It's not, that piece of it is not the responsibility of the election supervisors. The bylaws and the California Election Code require the foundation to maintain a list of its members at the headquarters. And that's a requirement that has to be carried out by management, by the volunteer coordinator and the membership coordinator at the station under your leadership, and then by whoever, business manager, whoever maintains the list of the staff. So I would appreciate some assurances that going into this next election, that those lists will be available. I did ask the National Election Supervisor on the last Elections Committee call, and so it was out there in the public. He said that he had become aware fairly early on that the staff list was not provided properly to the Election Services Corporation, and he understood it was being handled between yourself and Sol Watson. And he, Terry Burgess, took responsibility for not having checked further back to make sure it was actually done. So people just need to be aware of that. Because we didn't catch it until Jonathan emailed me and said none of our staff have been, none of the paid staff have received ballots, and at that point I inquired, and the chair of the National CNB Election Committee happened to be at the Election Services and determined that nobody on the paid staff practically of KPFK was in their database, and at that point they came back to us, and then between you and Joel, they finally got a list, but that's very late.
And I very report, Michael, I can tell you that I think so the staff list in August. What he did with it, I don't know. But I will say that we did our best to clean up the list. We will do better than our best this time. I'm always interested to hear what other people have to say through the process, because everybody seems fine to want to find somebody else, depending on that's fine. I mean, that's the information.
I just want to echo Michael's remarks and just make the request for the paper burners that,
yep,
with regard to this election, as this upcoming election, it's going to be a big deal because we're going to have 18 different reps elected this year. And so it has to be driving down the freeway. And when you're driving on the freeway, you can drive in the fast lane, or you can drive over on the right-hand side in the slow lane. And it's sort of discretionary. And in both cases, you're driving down the freeway, and you're fulfilling the requirements of the traffic police. I just ask as a favor that we just said it already, but I just want to say as a favor, let's really make sure this election succeeds and plan ahead. I think we need to get the staff list and everything done, you know, a month or two before it's due, and just repeat all the deadlines and just do a first rate job, and I'm pleased to hear what you just said. And the second point is with regard to this Arbitron stuff, I've got a big background in psychology and statistics and that sort of stuff, and it's true that the board did pass by a vote of 9-8 not to listen to the Arbitrons, but some of us have a scientific mind would like to hear those numbers, as well as the other numbers. I think we need to develop some integrated statistics that take into account the Arbitrons, the money raised, the Twitters, all the social media, and develop a composite record, and also keep our mind open for other creative ways to assess listenership, especially those which are sensitive to the various ethnic diversities. I would like there to be more information, so if we could drill down and find out what's up. But that's what it says. However, they are in detention at the moment, officially, as far as the organization, this kind of the organization is concerned, and the organization generally. With respect to the other issues you raised, we will be in the capital bank this time of detention.
We move to the next agenda item, which is
public comment. Hold on, Chair. I have to listen to that question to the GM.
We'll take public comment questions to the GM for 7.5 minutes.
Please
be respectful.
I've been around for quite a while, and every year that there's an election, I hear problems with, you know, the I think it's fine that you just don't say we'll do better, but then you get somebody who will do better.
Right.
The person who has been in charge of it, I believe, is also in charge of another aspect that's changed in my opinion. Am I right about that?
No, you're not right about that.
No? Well, he does go on the air. There he goes.
He's not responsible for that. He's responsible for the name of the
paper. Yeah. Well, that's our company.
Oh, okay. Well,
he has too many other things to do, is what I'm saying.
Well, that's good. Well, all right. I'll answer the question after that.
Okay. Well, let me make my comment. It's been shown just by the evidence that the person who's doing this job, or this area, or somebody else, is not competent. That is my point. I don't know what the database structure is. I don't know how these things are being handled. But you can't just say, without changing some part of the system, we need to make this person out to be that it's going to get better. Of course, it won't get better. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions for you and a comment. My name is Vita. One of my questions is, it really necessary to have 3 hours of any beginning morning? And then cutting it down to 1 hour to provide for the apartment in the morning? So I think it's much more inspiring, actually, in the way that he presents people the ideas about taking action and commanding democracy. I think with you at that 8 o'clock hour, I wonder if anybody else here has noticed an always softball question of very obfuscating guest. She gets them on there and she pulls the punches. I don't know because I stepped back from being a participant because I got more interesting reviewing exposés and material on other stations. So I strayed from KPFK. I'm back because I heard about the anti-dissent rule.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Oh my God. So I sort of came back in, and actually Tom Hartman has got me back on KPFK, quite frankly. Sonali should be on at 6, if you're asking me. I don't know what Alan is doing or why he's doing it, but just hearing him, oh my God.
Thank you.
Hi. So once again, everything I have heard from the GM regarding the election, there is no excuse. There has been no justification whatsoever. You can pull things from the air. So I blame everybody at KPFK for not doing the right thing. But from the very beginning, I feel that this was a sabotage effort. And you happened to disappear 2 weeks during a very busy area when we needed you at the station as soon as the election process began. And not only that, no Spanish-speaking translation whatsoever on the air, right? Nothing on the website except only the statement, no questionnaire, so that the listener, if they went to the website, they had no idea how this person answered the question. So many anomalies that it's a comedy of errors, right? That you can only laugh because you can't make it out. It really happened. And in the history of the elections, this is the first time I've seen this debacle. I don't have adjectives. Okay. And this council, Matt, and open for all the members, for all the listeners to participate, it's outrageous.
My name is Mark Madani. I'm head of the Family Tax Gap Rally Union. I wonder why you cut hours of Henry Watson, Labor Review. He used to have 1 hour prime time Thursday evening. Now you cut it to half hour Sunday morning. That's the most, the worst time, because drivers, they work Saturday night on the 3 in the morning. They're sleeping. They cannot listen to that. And then besides that, 99% of people, they should have more voice. Why half an hour? Why not 3 hours? Why not 4 hours? Why not 2-3 times in a week? Because the drivers, they want to come and talk. They tell their stories, they tell their problems. They have 150 issues. The DOT, the LAPD, with the customers, with the 9 companies, with everything, the system sucks. So we want Henry Watson back.
The labor review.
Labor review on Thursday evening.
30 seconds.
And 1 hour, or we can have demos, because we already closed the holding at airport LAX for 4 days. So we can do that anywhere we want. Thank
you.
All right. Just to follow up on the election some more, I hope that the national board, especially, or the local board, will review the report of all the previous election supervisors and, in part, the effort, so that the larger audiences can have an idea what's been criticized and suggested, and perhaps some changes can be made to be productive. I mean, we make jokes, some of us, I do, about, the Republican nominees and the unfair election process of the country visiting money and so on. Well, we're not doing much better, to put it mildly, than to say the nature of how we carry out the elections. And by the way, as far as the forum goes, none of the previous elections reached a super quorum. They barely made the quorum. So this is 300 less. I have a friend of mine who's a long-time listener. He reads all the material of the candidates, listens to all the names, says, I'm not even going to vote, because I can't tell what these people really stand for, who's good, who's bad, who's relevant. And he's not, maybe he's not representative, but he makes sense to me. And most of us don't know. You can't tell from 1 minute and 45 seconds what sort of person is going to be on this kind of board. So, in terms of how money is spent, mailing is made, announcements on the air, the whole process needs to be reviewed, and a lot of good material is available in the previous report. It meant to be aired and discussed among a lot of us, not just the board or the election committee. Again, maybe this is just idle chatter, but I think we can learn from the past so that we go forward and don't repeat the same thing, instead of blaming someone for this, that, or the other. It's always at fault and always blamed.
Thank you all. That's pretty good. I mean, I do appreciate you coming to another gentleman.
My name is Neil. Dennis.
Neil,
it's like I'm in
I've listened to KPFK for a long time. I've been listening for a long time. And just have a comment toward transparency. You mentioned there was an anonymous donor who contributed to the transmitter directly. My concern with that type of thing is, was this person given any special access, any promises, or just kind of under the table, even though, you know, it's, they sound like it's just over, I don't know, but it's just kind of off the record, and there's a little bit of money, $2,000. So,
$10,000, yeah, and I appreciate it. Yeah, I bought a breakfast from Holmes with my own money.
I knew it.
That was the consideration.
I knew it.
And I'll do it again. And I have made no secret of the fact that he has given us this money and wants to remain anonymous. I respect that. He wants nothing in return. I actually offered him a plaque with his name on it on the transmitter or on the wall in reception. He didn't want that. He just wanted breakfast at Norm's. So I wanted that. And I didn't claim with that. Well, with Hollywood Norm's too, it was a good, you know, it's a good there are 18,000 members. People are going to change their addresses from time to time. It's difficult to keep track of that. I'm not going to discuss any particular personnel matters in this forum or anywhere else in public that might be dealing with, but I hear what you're saying, and I accept what you're saying, and I don't think you're entirely wrong, but I think that with a database that size, we are bound to have some issues. I would have hoped not as many issues as we had this time, but I would stop very short of calling any of my staff who are responsible in that area incompetent. Very short. Really good to have you along at a meeting, and also good to know you back in terms of Tom Hart. And I too have asked the question since I got here as to why we need maybe on twice in the daytime, and it's something I wrestle with on a regular basis, and it may not continue forever, I don't know. Again, you know, I've used the dreaded A word, the arbitrons are strong for Amy and both broadcasts. That's not to say they're not strong for our other public affairs programmers. But, you know, these questions are always up in the air, and we will have to find... I mean, the other gentleman, I missed your name. I'm sorry for your comments. Sorry, Mr. Name, but I appreciate your comments here about the union program. It would be great to actually have 3 hours. It would be great to have 3 hours to put Henry on, if that's what people wanted. But if we did that, something else would have to move out of the way, and then somebody like you, who likes the something else, would come and talk to this meeting about that. You know, such a balancing act. Henry has been talking to us about some changes in this program. I can't talk about them right now, but some things might be happening soon, and we might well bring that up in this forum. Bella, what can I say? Bella, comedy of errors, you know, well done. Sometimes I think of me as a comedy of errors, and sometimes I think of you as a comedy of errors, but, you know, that's just the little thing we got going with, and that's fine. I don't recall being out of the loop for 2 weeks during the election. I was away for a week in November, but if you expect me to miss my only son's 23rd birthday for an election, then you're going to think again.
Oh, I do want to know, did Amy get paid for those 2 hours, and would it save half this money?
No, the contract is held with the
certificate.
No,
we'll save it. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to report to the
at
10 a.m.
tomorrow?
We're going to move forward with the next item on the
agenda. One moment. I just want to just point a privilege to thank the GM for his report and his response to the question.
Thank you, Ben.
Appreciate it.
Next item on the agenda is the CMD Director and Committee Report.
Go ahead.
We have 15 minutes for this item. Let's see. Okay, so we're going to have an in-person meeting in New York. The 27th and 25th. And, okay, so it will be a full agenda. New directors will be seated. We have more new directors than we did last year, just by the nature of these past elections. So it will be an interesting meeting. I urge people to listen to the stream. There are resources that go into our having these in-person meetings, and it's really important for you to listen. There will be some challenges and some various issues that will be happening. We've had a number, as I said, listen to how the committees are structured. We're going to have elections. for the committees as well as for the chair, vice chair, and secretary. So, I don't know if anybody has any questions.
I'm curious why you guys selected New York City. It's one of the most expensive places to go.
But we picked it as the least expensive time of the year. The bylaws require us. The bylaws require us to go to the various stations and locations.
Okay.
And we have avoided New York a number. It's like
okay,
way past due. So right now, in the middle of the blizzard, it's a reasonable hotel. The catering, by the way, was not as reasonable, so we will probably just be, running across the street and grabbing whatever, that type of thing.
Brenda,
I'd like to entertain my motion regarding the CMG seating for the upcoming CMG meeting.
I object. Well, first of all, it's off agenda. We're not done with the agenda.
It's on topic.
We're having agenda with new business, if anything, it comes after everything else.
The
chair's in
the room.
Brenda?
So I'd like to entertain my motion. Everybody should have a copy, and I'll be sending it to the recording secretary.
Point of order, we have an agenda, and you can't alter the agenda without a 2-3 vote.
And you can't just shout out since somebody else is speaking.
So I have a motion.
Wait a minute,
out of order.
Motion
in order.
Point of order. You're ruling that it's in order?
Thank you.
Pardon?
That it's under the TV director and TV.
Okay, I challenge the ruling of the chair.
All right, you have to vote.
Those in favor?
I just have a point of information. What committee report is this part of?
PNB director.
PNB is
not a PNB. It's not a director who will be seated.
Is
the
PNB issue? My ruling is in time. Please vote yes if you support my ruling.
Hopefully you're joking.
If there's
not. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yeses.
All those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8
Abstention.
Are there any abstentions?
The chair can vote to make or break a tie.
You can vote to make or break a tie.
Yeah.
So
you can vote to vote yourself.
I vote yes.
Yeah, okay. That is the same. Go ahead, Brenda.
Okay, so the motion that you have in front of you. Do I really need the mic?
It's good for the recording. No, it's not.
No, it's not. Because I'm $2 for the mic. Anyways, so you have this in front of you. It's in regards to an election that violated the bylaws and violated nomination period at WPFW, which, for those of you who don't know, is the Washington, D.C. station. Chair, if I can, I'll go ahead and read the motion. It says, whereas the specific bylaw of Article 5, Section 3, Part 8 states, any current delegate of any class of members may nominate any other current delegate of any class of members serving the same radio station for the officer of director, provided that the nominee has served at least 1 year as a delegate for that radio station. said nominations shall be given in writing to the recording secretary for the Radio Station Local Station Board, LSB, by December 31st prior to the election of the directors in January. And whereas KPFK LSB election results were not known until January 18, 2013, and whereas KPFK LSB delegates nevertheless adhered to the December 31st deadline to nominate its directors, and whereas four WPSW LSB members plus delegates, Campbell Johnson, A.C. Bird, Gloria Turner, and Camille Faircloth, were nominated by December 31st, 2012, not 2012. So, take a note of that. And whereas all LSB delegates are required to serve 1 year prior to nomination, all eligible delegates would therefore be familiar by the yearly bylaws mandated by the yearly bylaws mandated deadline. And whereas familiarity with the bylaws by all PMB eligible LSB delegates is a requirement to running for the LSB. And whereas the Pacifica bylaws has not and did not extend the December 31st deadline by a bylaws amendment or motion, whereas the WPSW chair extended the deadline on his own for the nominations to January 21st, 2013, whereas WPSW elected directors, PMB directors who were nominated past the December 31st deadline were not eligible to run for the PMB, whereas KPFK LSB would object to holding one LSB to a different standard than other LSBs and in violation of the Pacifica bylaws, last section. Be it resolved that the KPFK LSB urges the PMB to seat members Campbell Johnson, A.C. Bird, Gloria Turner, Camille Faircloth as the only LSB delegates eligible to sit on the Pacifica National Board of Directors for WPSW per Article 5, Section 3 of the Pacifica bylaws.
Second, if it needs a second.
Yes.
A, these members have not been seated. B, this is not an issue of this station, it's an issue for the PMB. C, we have no verification of any of the statements that are made here. It's just written. It's not proven. So anybody who wanted to vote on this has not investigated it or gotten any of the data or has had an opportunity to study it in the bylaws, but this motion has not been noticed to this LSB. And seven, I just want to, please, just give me a moment. You can keep time if you want. I do not go over my time. If you want to interfere in the elections at other stations, you will suffer the consequences of the same thing going on at other stations disappearing in this station. You are exceeding the mandate of this local station board, which is due for the, which is responsible for the governance of KPFK, not WPFW. And that's why this is out of order. And I do want to make a public statement, but I hope that this is recorded. This is a political move which has to do with the candidates from WPFW. It's Pacifica National Board politics. And people here are trying to manipulate this board to influence the PNB way out of scope of the functions and responsibilities of this board.
So I have Jim.
And
Lawrence, myself, then John
Wagner. Oh, and I suppose whereas the WPFW chair extended the deadline on his own initiative for nominations January 21st, 2013, was of course not a political matter at all. And I suppose the fact that the whole Pacifica Foundation, we're a part of the Pacifica Foundation, means we have no responsibility to have integrity in the elections of our sister stations. I would hope that if we did something underhanded and stiff, and that perhaps we haven't passed on something wrong like this, we ought to be called on. Whether we're, and we ought to have the honor to call ourselves. But if we don't have the honor to call ourselves better than if we did it, then we, I would hope that some other station, being mindful of its duty to the Pacifica Foundation and the welfare of the entire foundation, would call it to our attention for us. All we're doing here is expressing our opinion to the national board that this election extended on the edict of one chair, contrary to the bylaws. You don't need to investigate anything beyond that. All you need to know is that one chair, without having any authority to do so, violated the bylaws of Pacifica by extending the nomination deadline to January 21st. That doesn't require a grand jury to investigate. That's an admission of fact. That's a, you can take it as a court and say public notice of that fact because it's what happened.
So the notion that we don't have the right to say anything about it, and that somehow we're being political by objecting to it, but the chair of that board was not being political when on his own initiative he decided to wait till his candidate could get on the ballot, is bullshit and isn't worthy of any further response.
We have Kim, myself, Lawrence, John Sunshaw, and John Wayne.
That wasn't before you, because you said Kim, Lawrence.
I personally have no knowledge of any of this information. I mean, Jim's assertion that this is all fact, I have no knowledge of it. This is, you know, as Jim said, words on a paper. I don't know who these people are. I don't know what happened. I haven't heard from these people. Two sides should be present to present both of their opinions. I haven't heard the other side's opinion and facts. This is stunning to ask them vote on when we have no knowledge of any of the facts of what happened at another station. I mean, this is insane to ask us to vote on this.
Okay, so I'm next. And then I have Lawrence, John Crenshaw, John Winger, then Michael. Lydia. Sorry. If you could please raise your hand up so I could see you. So a couple of things. One is that people are very quick to not listen to things that are not convenient to them. There is a public record of people bringing this concern in the PMB meeting,
right,
and on the stream. Whether or not you listen to it, that's your discretion. Secondly, please, let's maintain order. Secondly, if people are violating the bylaws and we're not maintaining or calling them out, that's really a disservice for ourselves. If we say that we want to be a responsible board or have more responsibilities, then you should take it upon yourself to try and take some responsibilities of people not abiding by the bylaws. Especially if people are going to be violating and being seated onto the national board, that's really problematic.
Yeah.
Because not only that, it's like it's going to really show on how we're going to carry out this national board for this upcoming year. So I would really hope that people would be, you can even cross-check it. Cross-check it. I have the bylaws right here. You can cross-check it with the stream online. I apologize that this was noticed during the governance meeting 2 days ago. So I apologize that people weren't there.
Thank you.
I have Lawrence, and then John Crenshaw, John Winger, Michael, and Lydia.
It's amazing how ignorance is bliss. When somebody wants to claim ignorance because things aren't going his way or their way, and all of a sudden this is a political move. This is all, you know, for somebody to say this, to say, it's like claiming, well, you know, I'm innocent. I'm innocent after I have committed crimes against humanity, crimes against the listeners of the Persistence Foundation, over and over again, not listen to the board that they represent, not listen to the staff that they represent, and all of a sudden now, it's, you know, I claim innocence. Well, I've been around, I have this a historical memory, and I've seen things. And I've watched people on the PMB because I, at my own dying, I'm going to travel because I've been concerned. So don't come here and think that I don't have the historical history to call you out on something.
Who are you calling out?
So the next one is John Crenshaw, then John Winger, Michael, and Lydia.
If you had any doubt as to how politics works, all you had to do is look at the meeting tonight. I know nothing about this issue, a carefully prepared document which the chair inserts at a point that is entirely inappropriate, but they have the votes and it gets rammed through. This is the kind of accusation that we would never want to see at any specific station. All the claims here are only words on a piece of paper. We would have to take time to investigate and to see the issues involved and to get the factual information in order to make a rational decision about something like that, even to decide whether that is going to be the appropriate decision for our board to get involved in. So I would urge people who are falling
lockstep into a direction that may be unwise, to vote against this motion and demand in the future that if someone brings something to us, we have a factual background, the information is provided for us, we have access to emails, there are plenty of opportunities to make us aware of the issues and let us know ahead of time instead of blindsiding us with a motion that comes out at the board meeting. So I urge you to vote down this motion.
I've been a scholar of the bylaws for a very long time and very active in the bylaws, the bylaws committee. I argued strongly and pleaded that our local advisory board at the time not accept the bylaws because it had so many flaws. We are now stumbling over one of those flaws. If you read the bylaws, you realize that there's an election schedule, and the schedule is that we start our elections with nominations in June and campaign in the fall and have them elected in basically in November. And then we seat the people in December, and then the new board, seated in December, then makes nominations in the month of December for the P&B directors. And then you have the election in January for those P&B nominations made in December. The problem is that the election was sabotaged. It was sabotaged certainly by this corporation, which has lost ballots. It is sabotaged. I think I agree with Bella that it was sabotaged by Alan Minsky here. It was probably sabotaged at WPFW. The intention was to follow that timeline, and the bylaws were not followed because the election schedule was shifted due to maybe no one's fault at WPFW. I don't know. But the intention was to do something else. Now, because the election was delayed, there's a technicality that the bylaws require that we have at our own station to have the full board do the nominations. That's in violation of the bylaws too. So we're in violation of the bylaws because our old board, in contradiction to the bylaws, elected, made the nominations for the P&B directors. So we're in violation in the same way they are. There was no harm done. The fact of the matter is the intention of the bylaws is for the newly elected board, LFC board members, would nominate and elect the new board. I think that's what happened. I'm not sure about the exact timeline here. But the fact is, there's no harm done. This is obviously a political ploy for one side who's different than the other to get all the nominations done in December and grab political advantage. I think at the very least, I demand a roll call vote so we can hold and identify clearly those people who are playing such an obvious political game.
Michael, then Lydia, and
John, you're on PNA at Rodrigo. So, first of all, I don't think that... Just the mic. First of all, to me, the word political is not a dirty word. We live in a political world, and people have to engage in politics as the method of democratic resolution of conflict and of issues that face us. So to say that something is political is not problematic. To say something, however, violates the bylaws is. Why were the elections postponed? The elections were postponed once by the ED and a second time by the IED in violation of the bylaws. Nonetheless, WPFW completed the election within the time frame that was provided by the new setup. They achieved quorum for the first time in about 3 years and elected 24 members of their board in a timely fashion under the election as held. This station, which did not, nonetheless, as stated in the resolution presented, the motion presented, made nominations prior to December 31st as required by the bylaws. The bylaws say any member can nominate any other member. Doesn't they have to be on the board to make a nomination? It only says that you have to have previously served 1 year on the national board to be on a local board to be eligible for such a nomination. And so everybody who was conceivably eligible to run
for the National Board at KPFK was nominated by December 31st, including yourself, even though you were not necessarily going to be a member for the upcoming year, including Rebecca Ward, who was not even on the board at the time, and many other people from both factions were all nominated who were immediately eligible. And every other station has a prerogative and the requirement to do that under the bylaws and should have done so. So people were not legitimately nominated for the PNB. They cannot serve on the PNB.
And I would say to John Conshaw, the reason that you don't know what's going on is because the board majority voted to violate the bylaws by not seating you on January 31st, when you should have been seated. And I was seated on at a phone PNB meeting in 2011. Then you would be on the PNB list. Instead, we've been provided a roster with, as we know, with the people that were did not meet this requirement. Some of the people that nominated in whenever that was, January 19th or whatever, have served on the PNB before. And they were on the LSB this last time. And so they've already gone through a cycle where they nominated in a timely fashion. These are not inexperienced people or brand new people. They can be because they have to have served. But one of them served on the PNB for goodness sake. So, you know, in terms of political, you can go there. Also, there were there was an opinion that the Pacifica Council allowed to make gay permission to be used at the LSB meeting. Of his opinion that they had to have been seated by December 31st, and the chair of the LSB refused to allow that to be read at the meeting, including a second opinion of counsel. Okay? So, and this was with counsel's permission. And so, you know, there's a whole list of things that did not go right that were fortunate that were not there. In terms of the LSB's having a voice, we all have a voice. I mean, we're advisory. We're not saying that this motion is going to beat these people. We're just expressing our support for the bylaws as written and needing to comply. Now, if the bylaws were violated all year, I mean, I voted against extending all of those timelines. We should have hired the person to begin with. We fought very hard, but we were in the minority. And so then this is where we are. But a continuing breach is not acceptable. And so this LSB needs to stand and say, I didn't vote for these bylaws either, John Wenger, as you know. But anyway, but they are what they are, and so we need to support them. And we are either for the for a compliance with the bylaws or we're not. That's what the vote's about. Thank you.
Okay. We're hearing a lot of hearsay evidence here about what an attorney wanted to say and didn't say. We heard some incorrect testimony that this issue has been brought before the PND. It has never been discussed. And I just want to point out that the purpose of an election is to execute the will of the electors, to manifest the intent of the body that's voting. These four people who were on the WPFW LSB and wanted to be on the PND, there was an election held at WPFW LSB. Not one of these four people was selected by that group to be on the PNB. Not one. So the point being, as John brought up, that there was a delay in the election of the LSB, and therefore the chair extended the nomination period for PNB members. What I'm saying is hearsay. We don't have the data in front of us. We are not a judicial body. We have not got all the evidence, and this is not our business. We don't, and we are not experts. Not one here, including myself, is an expert about the timeline of an election, or maybe Lydia is. But we do not have the expertise to come up with this and put our foot out and say that, oh, these four people, because they registered on by the 31st, and I happen to know, since we're doing hearsay, that they registered at 5 minutes to midnight on the 31st. that they are the right ones and the only ones, irrespective of the funding of the LSB. Ignore how the LSB decided who they wanted to represent them on the DNB. Just put these four people who were not endorsed by the LSB. The point is, it's out of our scope. We have things to deal with in this station. Not this, not what's happening in WPSW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
sufficient information, relevant information, to make an informed decision.
I second that.
Call the question. It's not debatable.
Set the call. Those in favor, please raise your hand. The table.
Table.
The table.
Hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Those opposed?
So we have Ankine, Rodrigo, Lawrence, and Jim to end the stack.
What we have learned from the program, being on the programming committee, is how sensitive other stations are to what goes on in interference from other stations. I heard this over and over again, especially at WPSW. They always feel that we get the best of whatever there is, the national programming, everything else. So I'm very sensitive about if there's something that has to be done in another station. I would like to know what gives us the power to vote on something like this about another station. I would like to give us time to think about this, because I think something like this, we should have sent an email or something 2 days ago, so we have time to look into it. I would have voted, but right now it's just like something very important, is waited. There's no time to investigate, to think about it, and I like to think about things. Thank you.
Rodrigo,
then Lawrence, then Jim.
Yeah, I think so we can go ahead and vote for it. We already know who's going to vote for it and who's not, we're talking about them, I'm sure all of you are going to vote against it, we're going to vote for it, why do we keep
on?
That's a given.
It's a bargain,
we're going down. So, on the question, we vote for it.
Okay.
I'd like to second that for another question, and I'll pass my.
There's a motion.